Just, can you note that we just started the recording, so...
And yes, the recording was just started. All we've done is we've tabled the meeting notes from November. We don't have enough people here to act on those. And I just simply read the appeal number 835 for the record. All right. So going through this, we have the application here. And I guess, I apologize, is it Gary Robinson?
Oh, sorry. The authorized agent is Gary Robinson for the applicant. We have the
agent form. All right, and Gary's on the phone. So I guess, Gary, typically we've read through this stuff. We've had it for a minute. We've kind of looked over it, but I just would like, if you don't mind, if you could give us your brief overview and kind of give us the quick synopsis, and then we'll get right into it, see what questions we have.
And it's become
We've done a couple of them now since I've been here, and what we look for is that it can be done, and Gary is right, there is a principal advantage of not so many curb cuts, you know, especially on a state route. So that is a big advantage. So what we look for, if this does go through, first of all, this will be the first step for this, then it's obviously got to go out to the planning board for subdivision to properly create the lots. But what we're going to look for is a shared maintenance agreement over the driveway for the all lots that are going to be accessing through that accessway, which I think is going to be all five of them. And so with that, that's in the form of an agreement. We want to make sure those cross easements that are properly recorded into a deed, because what's going to actually have to happen here is that if this is just a five lot, then this driveway is going to be, the area that the driveway actually is physically located on is going to be on
each of these lots.
So there's going to have to be proper rights of crossing in the form of easements and the deed for each of the lots and that type of thing. So we get this properly recorded, you know, and once it's in the deed, it's there. And then the other thing we like to see as a general rule is just a disclosure that's provided at the time of sale, that the buyer is aware that they are sharing a driveway. It's not their property, so it is shared. And then as a practical matter, I think I said this to Gary, we also like to see a letter from the fire department, you know, that the driveway is accessible as designed. And when if this were to get to a subdivision, we're going to look for a beefed up, you know, cross section on the road, on the driveway itself to bear the extra weight of the truck, fire truck, that kind of thing. And then my remaining question on this one is, from my point of view, is I didn't know what area A and B meant. Are those other lots, Gary, or what's happening with all those areas?
Might be his.
The plan is that those lots would be have a boundary line agreement, and they would be given to the lots that are next door. Apparently, there's already been some homework done on that, and that is something that would be acceptable.
Oh, that'd be fantastic, actually. So, because there are a couple things here that need some cleanup. You know, and this would go a long way to cleaning that up. You know, so these would be incorporated into lots of this subdivision or other neighboring lots?
Neighboring lots.
Okay.
Neighboring lots.
Okay.
So
it's not a seven lot subdivision?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was kind of...
Just so you know, we have done... two off the top of my head, but we've probably done six or seven of these common driveway ones. And we have an attorney that writes these shared maintenance agreements for us. And he does a great job. And we've got one in the town of Wilton, and we have one in the town of Stillwater, the two most recent ones I've done. And they worked out great. We haven't had any issues with them. They're all similar. And I would say that both of those are probably three times the size, the length of this one.
There's an example here just around the corner on, I think it's Route 32, Gander Road there. Scott McKenna developed those, I think it was four lots back in there, and it turned out really nice. And it looks really good. It was well done, and that's an example of what, and that was done under the approach I just outlined, and it appeared to work out very well. And we only have one access point on the Gander Road for those four lots. So that's an example. If you want to see one in real life, most recently that was done just in the last two or three years.
Well, and that was my question, Gary. The first thing, I mean, one of the best ways to deal with this is it is a maintenance concern, unfortunately, and that becomes a safety concern. So the other way to get around that becomes an HOA. Have you guys thought about doing an HOA agreement where the actual maintenance of that road is taken care of by the HOA? Because I'm looking at your turnaround, and I don't know that a plow truck's going to be able to turn around there. A fire truck's not going to be able to turn around in that little turnaround that you have there. So I don't think that the road layout's going to work the way that you have it, first off. But second off, what are you thinking about maintenance? How, in your shared agreement that you've done in the past, how is the maintenance of that road upkept?
What happens is the owners that are along that road, we share the maintenance of that road, and we have that in the agreement. It's plowing, it's maintaining it, it's doing whatever.
Is this a thought to be paved, Gary?
Mark?
Will it be paved or gravel?
Yes, no, it would be paved.
Oh, okay.
It would be paved. Yeah.
And then to Jim's earlier point, you're going to have a beefed up road system.
Mm-hmm. Does the agreement specify, the maintenance agreement specify the level of maintenance? In other words, we're going to have the fire department come in and look at this, and you're going to talk about weight and things. How about that going to be part of the maintenance agreement that they have to be up to that level?
We've done dirt roads that are up to that level, but the pavement.
When the homeowner knows that they have to maintain the road to them, that's important.
Once the road's in, I don't think it will be an issue maintaining it to that level. I mean, it would be, if planning board, we would have a cross section of that road that would meet the cement, and we would also at that time we would deal with the planning board and the fire department and making sure that meets the. It's actually a part of the building code that talks about these fire accesses to lots that are not don't have a driveway to the road. I think the fire department would be much happier not having long driveways to the back than they would having this one driveway all the way to the back. So
the other thing that's done as part of the inspection process is this were a shared driveway, upon the issuance of the first building permit for the first lot, the driveway has to be installed and the CO can't be issued until the driveway has met specification.
Correct. My concern with shared driveways is it a way of avoiding building a road and cul-de-sac? Maybe the highway department wouldn't want to maintain another cul-de-sac, but if a short cul-de-sac is not that bad, why is that not an alternative?
That was an alternative we looked at, and I can tell you, working with Paul Joseph for many years, he does not want a short road with a cul-de-sac. It's another thing that they have to maintain. They would be backing out, coming back out into main road right there. I can tell you, we could get a letter from Paul Joseph saying that he doesn't want that thing short.
Oh, no, and I don't think that they want to take over the road either. That's why we're coming back to maintenance and maintenance and maintenance, because these five lots are going to be responsible for maintaining that road. It's a almost 400-foot road. It's not wide enough for a fire truck, so you got to widen the road, but it's minimum 25 foot. You're only 24. So anyway, it's a 400-foot road that has to be maintained, and when you get 3 feet of snow, if one of the guys decides not to do their part, then there could potentially be a house that's not accessible during a case of emergency. That's why in a lot of municipalities they ask for an HOA, because then there's a contractual obligation that there's an entity that would be maintaining that road under contract, and that it could be easily maintained regardless of whether one person sells their house or one person decides to be a snowbird and not live there for the winter. It's irregardless, that road will be guaranteed to be maintained. I think that's why we keep coming back to maintenance, because we're not asking the town to take over this road, are you?
No.
Okay, so it's about you guys maintaining this road then.
We have that maintenance in our agreement. That's in the agreement that they all have to pay the maintenance, and it has to be done every time, and there's no way around it. The reason that for these small things, HOAs are an issue because it's an organizational issue, and nobody wants to be involved, and it's an expensive thing, and it has to be it has to be like not licensed by the state, but I think they have to approve an HOA.
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. Through the Attorney General.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a very expensive thing. Nobody would think of doing it. But we have that in our agreement that it would be maintained every time, and all the owners would split that maintenance fee. We've never had a problem. Like I said, the last two that I did, one was in Stillwater, one was in Wilton. Never had an issue with that being a problem. But again, not to say that somebody couldn't balk and they could, but it's a legal issue.
All right. So. Yeah, that and that little hammer he's got at the end. It's not quite enough for a truck or a DPW, but a car could get in and out.
Yeah. That will have to be designed.
You're talking up here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gary. And
I'm a little bit of a disadvantage because my computer wouldn't download the second part of this appeal, and I think you've got drawings in front of you that are better than what I have with the first part of the appeal. Because the drawing that I have is just very sketchy. But my, the thing is, it's a motion that we can't, we shouldn't do things like, because it's a problem for the town maintenance to maintain it. It just, then we start getting into a whole lot of private driveways and private roads and things like that. And it's just, then what ends up happening, we've had it happen before, is that the homeowners after a while come to us and say, well, you've got to enforce this. And we can't. We can't enforce it because it's a private road or a private driveway, and so you got to sue the other homeowners. And then that becomes a problem down the road. I just don't. I worry about that.
You're absolutely right. It is a private matter. It's not something for the town to be involved in.
But you're talking about, and we are involved. It's just become. I just don't know why not do this as a subdivision with one road off of 197 and just build it with a cul-de-sac and have the lots off of it.
I think, like I said, I don't believe Paul Joseph would be interested in taking it over. And I think this is an easy way to do it. We probably wouldn't do a cul-de-sac because it would be a costly adventure. That it would be very large on that lot.
What was the aversion to doing the flag lots, having more of a road that came down, kind of turned into a T? You wouldn't have to go quite as far, and you would have the flag lots. What was the? Why are you guys trying to stay away from those? Out of curiosity.
Just the number of driveways that we have right there on 197. I'm thinking it's going to be a lot better if we have only one driveway. I think it's a lot better for fire accidents, which is an advantage to us too. Look, fire trucks can get right down in front of your house. Whereas if they have long driveways, flat kind of flat lot, it's harder for the truck to get down there.
I agree with having a common driveway. I'm wondering again about, the road you'll have to redesign. You'll get to that stage when you get further down if it makes it that far. So I appreciate that explanation. Again, I think it's still. So the other option that you laid out was a two-division subdivision, right? A two-lot subdivision. So obviously it's not ideal for you guys, but I don't know. Justin, Scott, you guys have any question about a five-lot subdivision? Did you guys have anything we...
My only concern was the access for fire. That was the primary concern I had. I understand the logic behind the single road, but I defer to you guys because I have no experience, and certainly defer to Jim because I have no experience in. The maintenance issue is an issue because people may agree, when they purchase the home, but then, sometimes people.
Well, how it goes in foreclosure, there's no one living there, then who chimes in for that?
Somebody falls on, I don't know what the agreement would look like, so I can't speak to that, but that seems to be an issue.
And that's the other issue with the legal agreement is that, again, if there was a particular lot was maybe in the back, they could be in a lawsuit right now when there's a snowstorm and the ambulance can't get there. But the lawsuit doesn't help them in that instance. And I think the other areas you mentioned, you know, Stillwater, Wilton, they're a bit more rural in this area. So not, you know, just there's going to be more trucks, there's more plows, that's more the lifestyle. Here in 197, that is not at all the lifestyle. Those are beautiful SUVs that have never been off-road. So as far as the actual maintenance and the plows, you know, I mean, that's just kind of the, I understand they'll have a subcontract agreement, but as you build this lot out, like, that's the cumbersome part is it's good for so long until it isn't. Until one of these people moves out or until a house goes to foreclosure due to COVID and whoever else knows what else. And then we find ourselves four people or three people trying to maintain the same road. So it does become problematic.
And people will complain to the town, even though they're supposed to have been in agreement if a property is sold.
Wait.
And it's not disclosed.
Yes, it will.
Go ahead, Gary.
I'm thinking I agree with you that people do. I'm sure that the building department will tell you they get several complaints. They have nothing to do with that all the time. And people would complain. We just haven't, in the ones that we've done, we haven't had that issue. When a lot changes hands, that hasn't been an issue. The way that the agreements are is that if somebody's not there, the other one's, like you say, if somebody has a foreclosure and they're not there, what it says is if somebody is not paying, others do have to maintain the lot or maintain the book. So I mean, that's that agreement. But is that cumbersome? I don't know. I mean, would you not do it? I mean, if it was the guy in the end, then you wouldn't care. If it everybody else, then you know you'd have to suck it up and you know maintain the road.
Well, the one thing I would point out is that once that agreement is signed by each of the five property owners, it is a legally binding. It's a contractual agreement.
Okay.
So if someone's not in fulfillment of their fifth share, you know, they're contractually liable. So
and if you look at the if we did have flag lots and we had lots in the back there, you got somebody make after driveway run that's a lot longer and it's going to be narrower than this would be. And I think it's just makes sense to have it.
Well, Gary, the one thing I would suggest is in that subdivision that I cited that's around the corner that does have a shared driveway, they kind of did a hybrid of the two. The reason why that never came before this board is because they did have flag lots and they met the 40-foot minimum frontage requirement, but rather than utilize the driveway for each of those flags, they joined the access into one shared driveway. So they didn't need to come for the variance, but they still have the shared driveway issue because they technically did meet the standard. They had the 40-foot frontage, but they designed the subdivision to have a shared driveway.
Go ahead. Is that 132 you're talking about now? Is that maintained by the town, or
no?
Is that just private as well?
No. It's all the things are put in place. They have the shared rights of crossing in each of the deeds, you know, the easements for the benefit of the four respective owners. They have a maintenance agreement.
Okay.
And, you know, it's only been a couple of years, but we've not had any complaints from that.
Okay.
But it was fully disclosed during the closing.
That property you're talking about, Jim, they have adequate road frontage. They just don't have drivers.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Now this property does not have adequate road frontage.
Well,
so we would be looking at an area. We're looking at an area variance because of that. It's the road frontage that's really the issue.
Well, I think Gary, that's true, but I Gary Robinson, I'm not the designer here, but I think you probably could get frontage for at least a couple of these, I would think. Maybe one would actually be landlocked, but I think if you redesign this flagged, I think you could get probably three to four a lot would have frontage and maybe one or two wouldn't.
When we say that we don't meet the road frontage, that is exactly it. We still meet all the other requirements of the lots themselves. I mean, the lots would still have 125-foot minimum on this private road or private driveway. It would still meet the bulk density.
Setbacks as well?
Pardon?
Setbacks as well?
All the setbacks, it would meet all the setbacks from the private driveway. It would be just
so
like
what you're telling us is that, you know, you could do a cul-de-sac potentially undesirable. You could do flag lots, but you know, myself, I don't like flag lots, and I agree on that, especially on that road. It's a bad idea. So those are the two alternatives. And I'm inclined to say, you know, given that you do have a specific hardship, and it's maybe this is the best way to go.
Right. I agree with the sentiment about the multiple driveways. I really like Jim's idea about doing flag lots yet still having a shared common driveway. I think that makes a lot of good sense. As far as the cul-de-sac go, really the only problem with that is that you either lose a lot or you reduce the size of those lots. But there's not really a detriment. It's a cost initiative, sure. But it doesn't. That's not a hardship in my definition. You're going to make money on these lots. That's the intent. So money being part of the issue, I mean, that's not a hardship. You're making money. So I don't necessarily agree that a cul-de-sac couldn't be put in here. And again, I know the way it's designed, it has to be changed anyway because this will not be sufficient. So I guess that is, I mean, kind of thing. The same thing is Jim here. I think, I don't know, I don't want to speak for everybody, but my personal opinion, we have two lots, lot 3 and lot 4, are completely landlocked. The only road they have is a private road. You know, these are two lots that we're going to create a situation here that just, I think, can create issues down the road. I understand low probability, high probability. I don't think any of us can say that, to be honest with you. We can all tell horror stories. I'm sure Jim sat in some town board meetings that he didn't want to be part of. So I just don't like that there's two completely landlocked lots. They, you know, they're tied in.
Three in the design.
Three technically, yes. Or three. Two is also landlocked. So it just makes for, again, I do wonder if there's some sort of compromise. Because, again, two lots, I understand the point. You have two oversized lots, it'll be difficult to sell, difficult to recoup your money. Understand. But is there a way to get in a cul-de-sac and get away with four lots? Or lot 4 is actually quite large. Can a cul-de-sac be accommodated? Again, something else that just doesn't have a dead-end driveway the way we have here. And I don't know if you have to lose a lot or shrink a lot. I'm not a land designer, but I do kind of agree with a common driveway. And I do agree with maybe a hybrid approach might be the way to go. Maybe you still can get five lots, but not in this orientation.
I think the hardship is the dimensions of the lot. The way the lot is, you know, all cut up to start. It's a funny shaped thing, kind of almost like a T or something. But it seems to me if we're looking to do a common driveway anyway, and we're just going to get around it by making it a flag lot, and then we're going to have two lots that are fronting. Now we're going to have three driveways that are actually going to come out onto the main road, and it just seems to me that would be undesirable to me. But we're still going to have a common driveway with the potential issues that we have with this one.
Again, I don't think, no one disagrees, we don't want any more than one lot. So we're kind of, if this goes forward, we kind of all agree that it will be a shared drive. The question is the maintenance agreement. We'd like to see some more information on that. We have a lot of questions. We haven't really, I know Jim has seen them, but Justin, myself, Scott is not. So we'd like to see that. And again, I think a cul-de-sac is going to be required. So it's hard for me to judge on this without having the planning board or fire department review. Because, again, I'm trying to approve something that I don't feel actually works the way it's drawn, and just that's a real problem for me. This doesn't appear to have proper turnaround for a fire truck. It doesn't seem... So, again, I don't know... Other than cost, I don't really see what the hardship is. And again, the size of the lot, it's been defined. You knew that when we bought it. So I don't know if that's a hardship. So I don't know.
I agree. Now, granted, I am new at this, but I went there and I looked at it and I kind of spent some time there. And I just had a hard time envisioning this as it's drawn here. I guess what I would say is maybe if we could see a little bit more detail, especially with the driveway and the turnaround, those were my issues specifically to Matt's point.
Well, okay, Gary, so what I'm hearing is some further information. Can you get a template or a draft of the maintenance agreement?
Sure.
And then I understand what you did here. You don't want to invest a lot of time in design when you're seeking a variance and we're not in a subdivision yet, but what I'm hearing is some further detail on the design of this driveway and making sure that the vehicles that have to maneuver in it can. In other words, the length of a fire truck. I know it's not going to be a town plow truck, but it will be some heavy-duty vehicle that's going to contractually plow this driveway. So, can we get, a design that actually supports maneuvering those size vehicles in?
Yeah, I think we can do that.
I mean, you're going to have to, if this is successful, you're going to have to do that for the planning board anyhow. You're going to have to take it to that level of detail. We're just asking to advance that, so what I'm hearing here is the board members want some more assurance that this is, in fact, going to work.
Okay.
Mr. Robinson, John, I just want to lay it on you. It's, I don't want to give you a hard time about this, but really this is, it's not totally unique, and I know you've done it before, but I think we don't want shared driveways if we can avoid them. We don't want, we don't want private roads if we can avoid them, and we don't want landlocked lots if we can avoid them. So there's got to be a good reason for approving. Okay. And so the more information we have, the better.
And then the other thing, I think I said this to you before, Gary Robinson, that we're going to need some indication from the fire department that this is in fact, acceptable.
Yeah, we'll get to the fire department. We'll get to Paul, and we'll probably talk with DOT also.
I mean, it's pretty easy to put a hammerhead in here that's going to work. You got room to work with there with that lot 4. So we just need to make sure that there's a radius and a dimension there that's going to accommodate, the turnaround.
Right. Yeah. It's a standard. Either way, a planning board, we would do that as a requirement of the building code, and we have to do that, and we would do that. But we'll do it now. You should have it down there to start.
And then you're right. Paul Joseph is going to be involved from the standpoint of he's going to have to. Well, no, this is 197. You're going to need a driveway permit from the state.
Yeah, you'll need a county. Right.
So I don't think it'd be a bad idea to at least make that inquiry and get some sort of conceptual. Approval from the state or indication that this is they're going to give you a permit.
We'll do that. We'll do that.
The other thing, Matt, is we did have a public hearing scheduled on this time. So.
Yeah. One last thing, Gary Robinson, when you make those notes, right now there's no real spot to put the snow at the end of that hammerhead, so just make sure we kind of accommodate that because right now I don't know where it's storing over the winter. But yes, thank you, Jim. I can't see that screen, so. Like to open it up for public comments. Is there any other questions from the board before we do that? Scott, any other thing?
Any feedback to the town from any public?
No, we did not receive anything in writing to the file, but I do see some people on here. I don't know if they're here for this. We have a second application with a second public hearing. But,
Justin, you ready to open up there?
You're opening the hearing, Matt?
I think the board, yes, let's do that, please. Like to open up the public hearing.
All right, anybody on the... on the meeting list here, if you could raise your hand if you're here to speak on this application. Just raise your hand. Okay, we have a Robert Barodi. Robert, are you there? Robert?
Yes, I'm here. Can you
hear me?
Yes, yes. And are you here for this public hearing?
Because I own the adjoining property, I believe. I think these lots back up to the Reynolds World Rifle Club, which used to be the Lenoa Rifle Club. Am I correct?
I think so, yes.
My address is 311 Reynolds Road at that club, so I'm guessing it backs up to that.
Yeah, I would imagine you're correct.
Yeah.
All right. My only concern, I don't have any problem with anybody doing any building, but I always like to put forward, the club was there first, don't build houses, and then want to shut the club down.
I understood.
Always have to look at two sets.
Fine.
Other than that, I don't have any objection to whatever you guys approve there. I just, like I say, when this dental contracting for selling the house, I want to make sure they know that I'm there.
Okay.
That makes good sense.
I've worked with the development next to gun clubs before, and that's a basic uniform concern.
Right.
Yeah, I understand.
When we did the Baker development by the blasting lady, if I'm supposed to mention, had that put into the plant. They were next to the blasting.
Yeah.
And we would do that. We would put that door in.
Okay. There you go.
That's pretty much all I had to say. So, unless you have some questions for me, I'll just lower my hand.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Robert. Is there anybody else on the list here that's here for this application? Please raise your hand. Going once, going twice. I don't see anybody additionally indicating.
All right. So this time we'll close the public hearing. I guess I'll leave it open to the board for any. Sounds like, I don't feel that we have enough information to go forward and make a decision today. I'd like to, like a second that. So I would like to table this, and I would like to, I know we spoke about it a moment ago, but basically, what we'd like to do is we'd like to see some dimensions on the turnaround illustrating the proper access. We'd like to see a draft agreement on the maintenance agreement so that we can just review that and make sure it's everything's covered. Mr. Martin suggested getting a preliminary review or indications from the state as far as a curb cut on 197. And we also made note that the adjacent property, the gun owner, would like that to be made clear and mentioned, perhaps even the deed, that he was there and that is part of what they're buying into. Other information that we're looking for, you mentioned DEC. And then did I miss anything else, gentlemen? Was there anything else? I'm sorry?
Fire department.
Yes, the fire department. Are we going to review with the fire department at this time, or are we going to lay out the dimensions and show that it's adequate for a fire vehicle?
I think we'll do both. I think we'll... We would put the new layout, and we would take it to the fire department and say, is this adequate?
Yep, and I would just like to add in that last thing, I think we're all in agreement that a common driveway is preferred. I think we just need kind of a hybrid to just set some of these concerns at ease. And again, I think that additional information will really help us make a better informed decision.
All right, so to recap, I've got five things. Maintenance agreement, a draft of it, fire department correspondence or a letter from them saying that they reviewed this, they don't have a problem. Detailed design on the turnaround. Indication on the plat or the deeds about the gun club location. And indication from DOT that they're going to be all right with the access location.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
Just a procedural matter, I'm just wondering if we can table this, if we should leave the public hearing open.
I recommend that you do.
Yes.
All right. So do we have a second, or what do we got to do?
We have a resolution to that effect on the second.
I second.
Okay, we got a resolution made and seconded, so... We call the roll. Trish?
Yes, one second. Mr. Rendall?
Yes.
Mr. Garrell?
Yes.
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
We're good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Thank you, Gary.
Okay. I'm going to probably be in to talk to you.
Okay, well, I'm off full, but we can talk over the phone if you'd like. Hopefully we reopen soon, but for now, it's phone calls only.
Okay, all right. Sounds good. Thank you, gentlemen. Please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on. Appeal number 836. This is a request of Terry Joe Ash Nicholson and Jeffrey Nicholson of 202 Bluebird Road, South Glens Falls. They like a special use permit pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 5, Section 149-33A, Home Occupations. The applicants are proposing to open a therapeutic massage office in their residence. This property is located in an R2, 1 and 2 family residential district, and is designated as 50.2-19.2 on the town assessment map. So do we have, I believe it was either Terry or Jeffrey here on the line?
We have Terry. I have a Terry Joe on the list. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, we're both here.
Okay, great.
Excellent. So yeah, if you don't mind, if you could just kind of walk us through your application, explain us a little bit what you're trying to do, and we'll kind of jump right into it.
Well, what we're looking to do is to move my massage practice into our home to better serve ourselves and my family and my clients. And I'm losing my space where I'm renting right now because they're selling the building. So we were eventually going to look into doing this, but found we needed to do it sooner. So
we have a 24 by 24 garage that we'd like to put a wall down. We have an exterior door that we use to come into the house, build a wall there so that he could still come in. Take the garage door off the front, put a 36-inch exterior door in there, into a waiting room, and then another wall there, and another 36-inch door that would go into the treatment room, and then a 36-inch pocket door that would go from the waiting room into the hallway that he would walk into our house so that her clients could access our half bath if need be.
Are you both in this profession, or is it just the young lady?
No, it's just me.
Where are you currently located?
I rent a room at the Orthopedic and Spine Physical Therapy on Route 9.
How many clients do you have currently?
Most of my clients come when they have an issue, so it's not like they're... I have a few that are regulars a couple times a month, but most are... They come if they're having an issue. So it could be 5 a week, it could be 10 a week. It all depends on what's going on with them. Because most of my clients come because I work in physical therapy for almost 30 years. And most of my clients come from my coworkers, and I have a nurse practitioner that often sends people to me. I also contract with the Glens Falls Hospital Employee Health and see injured workers there.
So depending on the day or the week or the month, you could you could see your...
I work full-time as a physical therapist assistant for the hospital. So this is just a part-time thing and hopefully my retirement thing.
I think...
that.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Scott.
Just from a personal standpoint, our chairman at home, you're just trying to guess the times you guys have been around. Home occupancy has always been a sticking issue with the zoning level. Gary and I go back to the time when we dealt with one that was in a new home and dog grooming business, and it stretched out probably 6 months, and it was very in-depth, and it gets to be a situation that has some a lot of gray areas, in my opinion, too, when you take a business and try to put it into your home that's not in a commercial area. So There are a lot of sticking points to this particular topic, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I'm inclined to think this is definitely a home occupation, though. It fits the definition. It's a professional service. You are a licensed massage therapist, am I correct?
Yes, I am. I grew up in a household just around the corner from here that my mother was a beautician and had the business in the home.
Yeah. And basically, service occupations that service one person at a time tend to fit into that definition pretty well. And you're not planning on having to wait for the full team?
No, and I never have had that. They might overlap for a minute, but the way that I schedule, and especially with COVID issues now and following all those rules, I don't let them overlap anymore.
Even after COVID, would not have walking?
No, because one might be walking out the door as the other one's coming in. So,
but it's a point. It's all by appointment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's appointment only. I do not advertise because I work full time too. I can't serve enough people on my own if I advertise. Everybody is referral, either by prior clients or, like I said, the practitioners that send them to me.
What would be your hours?
You're
saying 6 to 8.
What's that?
I was just asking you, and I think you might already have it here. You've seen it.
Yeah, sorry. The hours of operations that we're going?
Please.
Yep. Looks like it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday from mid-afternoon. I assume that's 2 to 7 p.m. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you're from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Is that right?
If I have somebody that needs a later appointment, because I work until 5 on those days, so I try not to take anybody then, but if there's a need, I would. And weekends, I try not to work either, but occasionally I will have someone that needs a weekend. So,
So with the part of what we're getting at, of course, is the traffic concerns in and out. Doesn't sound like it's going to be overly burdensome. We're also worried about the driveway. I was looking at the plans here. They had to get broken up to fit on an 8.5 by 11. So I guess I was just curious, your driveway, I assume you guys have at least one, if not two vehicles. You're going to have at least another vehicle coming in. So I'm just curious, what's your setback? Is it large enough to accommodate 4 or 5 vehicles in that driveway and not have to back out onto the road? Or?
No, we're 75 feet from the road.
Okay.
And there is the driveway is 60 feet wide right there. I actually put a basketball court in for my son there, and he never actually used it, so we use it as a turnaround.
Okay.
So I don't actually let people go out on my back out onto this road, because this road is like 197 when you were talking earlier. Right here in front of my house, it's 55 mile an hour speed limit, and it's the only on Bluebird Road. It's the only place. You got a 64 unit home of the Good Shepherd right next door to me. People are trying to get in and out. People, and they have a passing zone right here in front of my house.
Oh, geez.
It's crazy. I'm going to actually go to Saratoga County and see if I can get the speed limit changed, because it's just crazy here. So
that is difficult,
yeah. There's plenty of room for people to back out and to drive out.
Yeah, and I apologize. I missed the note that showed the front of garage on that quick layout there for the driveway. But yeah, that does make good sense. I appreciate that. So it sounds like, again, you'll be able to accommodate the cars you need. So that helps. You mentioned no advertisement. I don't know what the board's feeling is on signage. Would there be even a small placard by the garage, or you talking zero signage? You won't even know it's there unless you're going inside.
I don't really want the sign out by the road. If I did put a sign, it would be on the garage by the entrance for the people.
And that's some 75 feet away at least, right? So, okay.
Okay. You are entitled to a small sign.
And that's fine. It's very easy to tell them where I am when you say you're the house right next to the home of the Good Shepherd.
They kind of see that building, huh? Good little landmark? Yeah.
Yeah, they have plenty of sound. Just because you're entitled doesn't mean you have to put one up.
All right. Another thing, and I just don't know your business well enough, I apologize. One other thing we worry about sometimes with these types of services is any chemicals, aromatherapy, things of that nature. Is there anything we should be concerned with or anything you use that's anything really, I guess? Any kind of chemicals that have high VOC content or anything?
Not
to my knowledge. Yeah. I wouldn't think of just, again, one of those questions. Sometimes you'd be surprised. One of the toughest ones we have, we can do the dog grooming is actually a tough one. You can do kenneling easier than grooming because of the chemicals. Just some strange things you get caught up in. I know hours of operation is always a concern. Scott, you kind of hit on that. Do you have anything else you want to sign? The chemicals, I know we talk about that. So looks like she's, is that right when I say that? You said mid-afternoon. Are we talking about 2 o'clock till 7 o'clock, Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
Yeah, and most of the time it's only for a couple hours. Very rarely even till 7. So.
And then Thursday and Tuesday are your late nights. You go from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., is that right?
6 to 8.
Or 6 to 8, sorry. Thank you.
6 to 8 if I even see anybody on those days. That's just if needed thing.
And again, therapeutic massage. I'm not expecting a lot of loud noises, disturbances of the neighbors. I wouldn't foresee that with your business, right?
It's pretty quiet, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had to ask. At least we've done it. We've checked the box. It's quiet and there's no chemicals. It's therapeutic. All right.
Changing the existing footprint, right? It's just...
All interior. Yeah. Looks, appears to be.
Yep. Okay.
Just adding them all.
And, of course, you know, if we go further with this, you'll have to have that plan reviewed by the building inspector just for egress, code compliancy, structural concerns. So that'll all be reviewed at a time.
Yeah, that would be subject to a building permit when you make those changes in the garage.
Yep. And it sounds like you've made reasonable accommodations. They'll just want to check the sizes. Again, the half bath might be a concern of theirs. But again, you have access to it. It's covered access. Shouldn't be in any issue as long as that access is wide enough. But again, I'll defer to those guys that are pros in that area. So, but they will be a little bit concerned about that. So handrails or anything if they're needed on those stairs that are shown, this is something they'll have to just contend with.
And just as a procedural note to the board, this is a type 2 action under SEAKER. The commercial use under 4,000 square feet in an existing building. So. Exempt from review.
That's my question. It's exempt? Okay. Thank you.
I don't see any great issues with even like the hours. I mean, the hours would probably not want to be open past 8 or 9 o'clock, but other than that, I don't see an issue.
I think that the main thing here is that it's a single use service, you know, one person at a time. Okay. That in my mind alleviates a lot of concerns I saw. We're going to have 5 or 6 people here at one time, and you know, cars coming and going. This is a single user service. So,
if the traffic would be the biggest concern, though, as you say, I don't think that's a concern.
But at that pace, I don't see a big traffic concern.
Okay.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. All right, is there, I believe we've asked most of our questions on the board. Anybody have anything else before we open the public hearing? I'm not sure, is there anyone here for the public hearing?
I'm satisfied.
Okay. Scott?
Okay.
Mr. Endall, are you all set to open up the public hearing?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, we're opening up to the public for the
public hearing. Is there anybody here for the hearing? Could you raise your hand? I do see a couple people on the list. If anybody would like to comment, please do so. And anybody there at all? We didn't have any written correspondence, I told you that. I don't see anybody raising their hand here on those who are on the list.
All right.
Yep, there appears to be no comment.
Thank you. All right, so we've kind of asked our questions. I don't know if anyone's thought of anything new. I think I'm kind of ready to make a proposal, but I don't know if we just open up for discussion. Any other things we should maybe... we should ask while we have the attention. Anyone?
I really can't think of any other concerns.
All right.
Is it too much to ask that we ask, if we do approve this, that we do put a stipulation in, that we do hold her accountable for the hours that she's told us here?
I was going to say that. You agreed? Yep. I would do that, as well as the frequency, as well as the overlap, and then if anything were to change on the driveway, that would be brought to before the town as far as access and see how that goes. Part of the advantage of an ample driveway, allowing this to happen easily without interfering with that 55-mile-an-hour zone. Mm-hmm. So if anything were to happen, they were to affect that driveway, I'd want to make sure the town is aware of it.
I think that makes sense.
That's fair. So I guess with that, Mr. Endall, sorry we can't see. It's harder for me to look you in the eyes. Are you anything else you would like to add?
She's only 54, so you've got to be...
Well, I don't think she needs to come back.
She's not putting her feet up yet.
Yeah.
Got to keep her working.
So, okay.
She retires, you can actually do it as a day job instead of a night job. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and I don't really see why you have to come back to us to do that. I mean, that's just that's all.
I think we could put the nighttime limitation and maybe not address the daytime limitation just to make sure the cars are out of there.
No later than.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. So I guess I'd like to propose a motion that we authorize this variance for the home use occupants as described.
Special use permit.
Apologize. Thank you. Special use permit as applied for, and that we have the stipulation that the working hours will remain prior to 8 p.m., that there won't be more than 1 to 2 clients at any given time, and that overlap will be kept to a minimal. Also, that the driveway becomes part of the variance, and that we actually, that if anything's changed that or affected that, that it has to be reviewed by the town again. And I'm trying to think what other notes we had. I know this is one for you, Scott.
That's good.
Yep. I'm fine.
I'd like to propose that motion then, please.
I'll second that, and I just want to put on the record that it's for appeal number 836.
I knew I'd stumble through. Thank you. All right. We have a motion. We have a second. You want to call the board, Ms. Andrews?
Mr. Endall?
Yes.
Mr. Farrell?
Yes.
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, Terry Joe, you're approved. That marks the end of this proceeding.
Very good. What's our next step?
Your next step would be I'm going to send you a notice of approval, and I'll have it out in the mail to you tomorrow so you'll get it by the weekend. And then your next step would be to apply for a building permit for the change in the garage interior configuration. And then, once that permit's reviewed, it gets issued, and you're off and making your building the changes to the garage.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, yes, thank you.
Nice talking with you.
Likewise. All right. I don't believe we have any outstanding business. We mentioned that at the beginning, right? So.
This is a note to the board for next month. You're going to be getting a copy of the draft solar law for comment.
Good.
So that'll be coming your way.
Butler Road.
Solve the PDF.
Load it up.
There, yes. very in-depth.
Right. Be excellent. And was any word on the draft? I know we approved the comp plan. We were talking about zoning workshops. COVID kind of put a wrinkle on that.
I sent you the one draft. That's all that's been done so far. So if you have any comments on that, get them to me, you know, as soon as you can. And I'm going to have a second one out to you in the next couple of weeks. They'll just be building on one on the other.
Okay, sounds good.
If you want to give your comments in an email message, or if you want to, you know, make them track changes in the document and send them to me, whatever you're comfortable with.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you.
What are we talking about as far as it relates to the first application flag lots?
Well, basically, they do a kind of wedge lot where there's 40 feet like this, and it goes out and then it kind of opens up. And so you have four driveways, but they're kind of skewed, you know?
Basically,
yeah. Let the engineer do it.
this kind of a thing. Okay.
Yep.
What could happen is this will affect like that, so this lot could shape like
and have you had a chance, Gary, to run through some of those notes? I know you were pretty adamant looking through some of that, and I agree with you.
So
you can't do it all at once. You got to do it in phases. But it doesn't seem like we've made a lot of traction, have we?
But they don't have to use that section.
Yeah.
Right.
You can have it all.
Yes. With that, can we adjourn the meeting, folks? Or? Oh, I apologize, Trish. Sorry. That was my mistake.
Like this, one not like this, and these are totally landlocked.
Oh.
So Mr. Martin is just describing what a flag lot would look like as referring to application 835 for Mr. Farrell, and he just wrapped that up. So
it was just instructional to one of the... Justin had a question about what a flag-shaped lot is.
Yep. So with that, I think... can we adjourn the meeting? Everyone ready?
Gary, you adjourn? Gary, we expect to see you next time.
I'll second that.
I'll be there.
All right. All right. See you, Gary.
Good job. All right. Take care.
Yeah,
good night,
going.
Everybody.
I knew he messed up at least one or two things.
Nice job.
Good. Thanks. He's like, yeah, what appeal is that? I added that one.
I can't.
Thank you.
Home occupancy just...
I can tell you. Hey, sir,
it gets me. It gets me. Like, I keep going back to that dog. Remember the dog room?
Yeah, well, the problem is... Well, my thing is, like, the small guys.